There is no road to happiness. It's more of a winding path through hills and valleys. In the end, it's the journey that matters. Truth be told, quotes.
Sometimes, realize there's no way.
You have tuned into Breaking the Mask of Depression with your host, Diva with Depression. You have tuned into Breaking the Mask of Depression with your host, Diva with Depression.
Welcome to Breaking the Mask of Depression with me, your host, the Diva with Depression. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope spring is bringing you some joyous things other than allergies and pollen. I'm sitting here in North Carolina, and today I think it's 70-something degrees, but 2 days ago it was 40 degrees, so who knows what Mother Nature is up to. So I'm not going to hold you guys. It's still Women's History Month, and I decided to do something different than others. I wanted to highlight the badass women in my life that make my life what it is and inspire me. And so I'm going to push on and bring another amazing woman to the stage. This beauty has inspired me from the first day that I met her. And I know that she will inspire you. So welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so honored to be here. And when you invited me to be your guest, I have just been like a little child waiting for Christmas.
That is so nice of you to say. We met in a wonderful public speaking course. And the first day when I met you and Dr. Deborah, I was struck by how regal you were. You know us Black women, we can wear some regalness. And the second thing, and I tell you this always, is your smile. It just lights up the room in the world.
Thank you. So please introduce
yourself.
Okay, I am Jeannie Muhammad, your global happiness expert. I am a author. I am a speaker. I'm a blogger. I'm a coach. I coach in happiness and life coach, life and happiness, assertive and confidence, holistic wellness, self-care. I'm certified in all of these. I love learning. And as I was telling you, I've gone back to school.
That's
and
so
I'm
amazing.
Majoring in psychology. And I am a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother. And
wow.
Yes, so I am have my hands in a lot of things. And so I'm just excited about being able to tell my story. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You have done it all and continue to do it all. And I'm so inspired again because I can hardly remember where I put my glasses, like I said. And here you are back at school.
Yes. And that's a story in itself because when I was in college, I really was not interested too much in getting a degree. I just wanted to learn.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. so I didn't, you know, get my degree, but it was something that I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the opportunity presented itself, I was just, oh my gosh, my prayers have been answered. So
that is so awesome. Now I want to say I have met your amazing husband, just one of the kindest souls ever. But I don't think that I know that you had children, but did you say grandchildren? Now, how many children, how many grandchildren, how many great-grandchildren?
I have two children, two sons.
Mm-hmm.
I have just two grandchildren, and I have six great-grandchildren.
Wow, that is so awesome. That is so awesome. I have a granddoggy. So I always tell when I speak to grandparents, I was like, well, I have a granddoggy who's probably just as spoiled as your grandkids.
Wait a minute. Does he like to drink coffee as much as you like to drink?
You know, he used to sneak it. Like if I would have, you know, when I had him in the mornings, he would sneak a little bit, but he's already so hyper. He used to be so hyper. No more coffee. But I do have my coffee cup here, Miss Jeannie, so...
I know.
So one thing that, aside from your beauty and your presence, that struck me is your testimony, because, you know, of course, when we were in the public speaking course, that was why we were there, because we were learning how to share our stories. And although I know that I'm not alone, sometimes when I hear my dark story or tell my dark story, I don't think that other people have dark stories behind them. And of course, with your smile, like I said, you're always smiling. And so that's your testimony struck me. And so would you care to share some of your testimony with us, as much as or as little as you want?
As I said before, that has been what has really been healing for me, mm-hmm. is finally not being ashamed of my story and mm-hmm. being able to share it. And it starts, I always start back, because it started with my first memory. My first memory that I have, I was about 3 years old, and I woke up in the middle of the night to my mother screaming. Mm-hmm. And my father was beating her.
Wow.
And we were very, very poor. I was born in a two-room shack in the middle of a cotton field.
Wow.
In a little town that's just a sign on the side of the road that says MacDade, Louisiana.
Wow.
And we didn't have running water, no electricity, no inside plumbing, none of that. In fact, the floors were dirt floors.
Wow.
It was a dirt floor. But, and it was just two rooms. So we all slept in the front room, and then the other room was a kitchen. But I woke up to my mother screaming. And throughout my childhood, my father was very, very abusive to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
He beat her, you know, to me, it seemed like it was just all the time.
Yeah.
And so he was never abusive to us in the sense that he really hit us. But now I've come to understand how when you grow up in an atmosphere like that, around daily violence, and my mother had turned to alcohol. She would drink, and sometimes she would, you know, be really drunk, and we had to, you know, we would take care of her. And I tell people, I don't know what started first, my father beating her or her abusing alcohol. But this went on throughout my childhood. But you know something, Dee Dee, I used to love to read, and
mm-hmm.
and I would read anything I could get my hands on, but because we were so poor, you know, we didn't have a lot of books, but I would walk miles. If I knew somebody had a book, I would walk miles just to get that book. I didn't care if it was cold or raining or whatever, but I loved to read. And I couldn't wait to get our textbooks from school so that I could read. But I just knew that there was something better. And I didn't even know what visualization was at the time, but I would mm-hmm. visualize myself being somewhere else out of that situation. When I was about 14, I decided I had to find a way to escape, because for the first time, my father hit me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I stepped between him and my mom. And instead of my mom getting the lick, I got the lick. And wow. I decided, you know, I was always trying to step in between them and stop them. And I knew that if I didn't get out of there, I was going to either hurt him or he was going to hurt me.
Yeah.
So I started trying to figure out, how can I get out of here? Now, mind you, this is in the country in the 1960s.
Wow.
On a cotton plantation. I had no money, and I had been very sickly as a child because I had asthma really bad.
Oh, wow.
I had never, right. I was very sickly. In fact, the doctors had told my mom several times that I was going to die.
Oh, wow.
Right. Yes. So I had never spent a day away from my mother other than when I was in the hospital with an asthma attack.
Wow.
I had never been away from home. But I decided I have to get out of here. So I started, how can I escape? I had an aunt and uncle that lived in Redwood City, California. And they had been asking my oldest sister to come visit them.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't want to visit them. She didn't want to. So I decided to write a letter. I forged a letter. And pretended like my father was sending them the letter saying that he wanted me to come to California and ask them to send a bus ticket. Yeah, you heard wow. right.
Wow.
And
that, oh my gosh. So you were a badass from the beginning. That is terrible.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but yeah, you're right.
That is something.
Yes, ma'am. So I got even worse, Didi. I pretended to have an asthma attack. I know that's really bad. So that I didn't have to go to school. So that wow. I could stay out of school to wait for the mail to come. And so I could get the letter when my uncle sent the ticket.
Wow.
So, and that's what I did. And finally, when I got the ticket, I told my father that I was leaving. That I had a bus ticket to California and I wanted to get his blessings. But if he did not, I said, I'm leaving. He said, I couldn't go. He said, no, you cannot go. I asked,
wow.
you know, I kept asking for his permission. Finally, I just said, look, I have the ticket. You cannot watch me 24 hours a day. So one day when you're not here, I'm going to leave. And so that's just it, you know, unless you mm-hmm. want to stay home 24 hours a day to watch me, you know.
Okay.
And so he said, I see that you're serious about leaving, so you have my blessings. So wow. I got on a bus for California when I was 16. This is,
wow.
I left home.
Wow. That's so brave. That is so brave.
And I didn't look at it that way, Didi. I just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, I know. I get it. We do what we have to do.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And looking back, I can see that I didn't ever consider myself a survivor, but
right.
but I am.
You
and are. So, and it explains to me everything after that, okay, when I got to California, my aunt and uncle, I wasn't going to go to school, but they insisted that I go back to school. And so I went back to school and I graduated from high school. And then I went to college. And that's where I met my first husband, was in college. And
mm-hmm.
I was a little young virgin that didn't know anything. I was country still. And I ended up getting pregnant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know anything about birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up getting pregnant. And I forced him to marry me. I really forced him to marry me. He didn't want to get married. And he ended up leaving me and my baby when the baby was 3 months old.
Oh, wow.
And after that, I went kind of wild, Didi. I started drinking heavily. And eventually I ended up being an alcoholic. I ended up abusing drugs. I became a drug addict.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
And going through all of that, I became homeless. I was homeless three or four times. And I thank God that my ex-husband's mother took care of my son during that time.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
You know, so, you know, and this went on for years. So that's the beginning. That was the beginning of, you know, just me going just really downhill.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes we don't think about how, and I just came from therapy and have this conversation weekly. We don't think about how much our childhood and what we see influences what we become, you know, and the road that we take. You know, I was just sharing with you that I was in a long relationship. But I know that it was a relationship I wasn't supposed to be in that long. You know, I mean, God bless me with two beautiful babies. But I know that that wasn't the person that I was supposed to be with. But I grew up in a single household. You know, I didn't see what love was. I didn't see, you know, how to interact with a man. So like you said, you were young and didn't know what you were doing. I'm looking for love. Mm-hmm. In a two-parent household.
In all the wrong places.
Exactly. 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 And so now how old was your son when you were going through all of this? Was he aware of what was going on?
Eventually he became aware because it started when going, you know, it was a process, you know. Okay. It got worse over the years. So as he got older, he was about 3 years old when I was started being homeless and see, I was in and out of abusive relationships. See, like you said, when you come from an abusive atmosphere and as a child, you know, more than likely you're going to end up in those same kind of relationships because that's all you've seen.
That's all you know.
That's all I'd ever seen. Yeah. And in my studying, you know, psychology, you are so right. One of the things that I have learned is that almost every problem that we have as adults stems from our childhood. The trauma that we go through as children affect us in different ways. But if you go to the root of the cause of a lot of our trauma, it stems from what happened in our childhood.
Definitely.
And so
we don't get over it. Wow.
Nope. Mm-mm. And so I was in and out of abusive relationships. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, homeless most of the time. And but I always knew because, you know, I thank God that I was blessed with, you know, some intelligence to the point where I could fake it.
Right.
You know, I could fake it. I could fake it. So I ended up in corporate America, you know, in high positions of management, but I was a manager. I was during the day and a drug alcoholic at night and maybe getting beat at the same time and then learning how to put on that mask.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Now I grew up in around alcohol abuse and drug abuse. My daddy actually succumbed to his drug addiction. So I know how much of a hold it can have on you. So what was your turning point? What made you decide that this is not the life that I want anymore?
I made that decision lots of times.
Okay.
You know, you'll get to a point.
I love that.
And
you'll
say,
I love that. No, I do.
I did. I would say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to, you know, and I would be good maybe a little while, and then something would happen and I would be right back in that condition. And so there were incidents that happened that would shake me to the point where I would like say, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But the thing that really, when I stopped one day and I said, you know, there's something, I'm doing all of this and I'm in all these abusive relationships. And by this time I had, you know, started going to meetings with the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
I had started, you know, being and being around people that did not drink and didn't smoke and had a positive, you know, that helped me. And Minister Farrakhan wrote this self-development book. It's called Self-Development, The Basis for Community Development. And it talks about building the will. There's the first part of it. And so that made, and self-examination in there, it talks about looking at yourself, you know, instead of looking outward and maybe blaming things on the outside, start looking at yourself and see why you are willing to accept the negative things that come into your life.
Right. I get
and
that.
And so from there, I started looking at me.
Okay.
I started saying, now, what is it about me that I'm allowing all of this to come into my life? What is it about me that, sure, these men are raunchy, but I'm allowing them to come into my life?
Exactly. Right.
You know?
Right.
Sure, you know, the alcohol and the drug, they were not serving me. So what was it about me that I felt I had to self-medicate?
Right.
And I started really looking at it, and over a period of time, Didi, I found I just didn't love myself.
Right, right.
I didn't think I was worthy of love. You know, somebody, I had been bullied growing up, had been told I was ugly and that I would never be this and I would be, you know, just really, I had never been, anyone had ever really poured anything positive in me. My mother did. I can't say that, but she was had her own issues.
Yes. 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 She was going through everything.
Right. She was trying to survive.
Yeah.
So I started saying, okay, I don't love myself. I need to fall in love with me.
Wow. I love that. And so you learn to give yourself, did you learn to give yourself grace because of what you've been through and why you went through it? Because I think that that's a big problem sometimes, is that we acknowledge what we've done. We acknowledge that we have to heal, but we don't fully give ourselves grace for doing what we needed to do to survive, to find love, to feel love, to, you know, because addiction, and I say this on so many episodes, addiction comes in many forms. It could be food, it can be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be sex. And the bottom line is that we're trying to find comfort, but we don't give us grace in those, you know, when it comes to those things. So did you learn to do that?
Oh, yes. And I'm still really working on that.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, it's so easy to slip back into the negativity. So yes. It's something I work on a daily basis, you know, because I am my worst critic.
Yes, we all are.
You know, most of us are, you know, that self-talk that we talk to each other, you know, to yourself, you know, and so, but I have learned to give myself grace and to understand why I allowed myself to go through what I went through, and understand my mother and father, you know, and understand and have compassion for them.
Yeah.
And understand, this was back, like I said, I was born in 1948.
Wow.
So back in that time in the country on a plantation, my father was a sharecropper. You know, now what would that must have been like for him?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, that's a sidebar, but you know, when people, I was just doing an interview the other day, and they were asking about mental health and the things that we carry. And I said, you have to go back 465 years.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? To start our healing, because you take your dad, for example, like a sharecropper, told that he's less than, you know, and carry that throughout 465 years, you know, carry that through Miss Jeannie's life, you know, because her daddy didn't know how to speak life into her because life wasn't spoken into him. And
that's
and so on and so on, you know?
Right. And that is what I had to come to understand, and to understand, and this was the hardest thing, is to look at what it did to my children. Going through my issues, what it did to them. And I've gone back and apologized to them and had that hard conversations about it, so that I could, that was part of my healing.
Yeah. That's why I was asking you how old your son was, because I can be honest and say that I'm not there yet, you know, with my parents. Okay. I'm serious. There's some things that I understand, but the forgiveness part and the letting go part, I'm not there yet. And that's why I was asking you how old your son was when you started with your journey, because, you know, it's hard to see your parents like that, you know, and you start to feel, you get angry with them, but then you get angry with yourself for being angry at them, and, you know, so on and so forth. So, but what I think is amazing is that you said something, you said you're still healing and you still deal with that. And I think that's beautiful, because we are under the impression that there's a time limit. You know, like I'm always told, you're 55 years old, get over it. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No ham, no cheese. I am not. You know, like these are things, I mean, because you think about something that has disrupted your spirit from your, I say, from your toenails on up. How do you tell somebody to just get over that? You know, and thank you for saying that you are still healing and you're still learning.
Yes, because I say to people that we're all so unique and so different that my experiences, it may not have affected them as much as it affected me. And it may not be affecting me as much as it has someone else.
Yes.
You know, so each of our story is our story.
It is. Exactly. You know,
so I cannot say to you what put a time limit on you. I can just say what I am.
Right.
By the grace of God. And I strive to do that and not be judgmental, because I'm really, I mean, I'm not qualified.
Yeah.
You know.
Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Was it hard to get to that point from the point of acknowledging where you were and who you were and what you were missing and what you were looking for? Was it hard to move forward? I guess I should say, was that the process? Was how difficult?
It's been a process, Dee Dee. It's been a process. And in fact, you know, when we first met, that was a big turning point in my life, because I had been going through so many different experiences and hiding so much about what I had been through and what I was going through, that I had not reached the point when I met you where I could be as honest about what went on in my life as I am today.
Wow.
You know, that was really a big turning point for me.
Wow.
To be able to get up in front of an audience and say and tell my story.
Wow. And even in your walk with the nation, you still were not, you still didn't know that you could share who you were.
No, I didn't. Wow. See, it that's what I'm saying. It was, and I've been in the nation for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And this is why I say to people that come into the nation that, you know, sometimes people expect a miracle. Like if you're one day this, and then you come into the nation and you're this. But right. It's not like that.
Yeah,
it's still a learning process. It's still you coming to know yourself, coming to develop a relationship, a personal up close relationship with your God. It is a process. So I say to anyone, just because you meet someone and they're in the nation, don't expect you meeting a God. You know, you're meeting a God, a person that is striving to work towards being who God will want them to be. Right. So even through all of those years, I still had somewhat of an imposter syndrome.
Wow. Now, the nation of Islam, just like the Christian community, has been a cornerstone of Black and Brown communities for ages. How have their views on mental illness and sort of a mental health awareness, how has it changed? You said you've been there over 30 years. What have you seen? Because I think that I met you. I went to a conference on Black mental health when I first moved back to Charlotte, and there were two women that from the nation at the same table with me, and I was so excited because you know, there in our communities, we were so closed off from the discussion about mental health. So how have you, what changes have you seen in the Nation of Islam and their discussion about mental health awareness?
You know, I have seen under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a real opening and up about understanding that just because a person is spiritual and they're religious or they're practicing a religion, sometimes that can even cause that person to be even more ashamed of what they're in because, you know, don't you have faith? You know,
exactly.
You know, where's your faith? Exactly. You know, where's your faith? So Minister Farrakhan introduced us to a course of study. And I don't know if you've ever heard it called Dianetics, the science of the mind. And mm-hmm. what it is, and it is a part of Scientology that is taught under Scientology. And Scientology has such a negative connotation about it. But I'm not talking about the religious part of it. I'm just talking about this tool that they offer that I found to be very beneficial. Minister Farrakhan okay. introduced it to the nation because he understood that there were so many people that were suffering from mental anguish.
Right.
And right. and religion was not helping.
No. No.
You know.
I say all the time, you can't pray it away.
No.
You cannot pray it away.
No. Yeah. Now, that's part of it.
Right.
You know, it's good to have that. But see, it's a holistic thing. It's not just one thing here, one thing. It's your whole your mind, body, and your soul.
Definitely.
That has to be ministered to.
I love that. I love that. So tell us what a global happiness expert does. What okay. is it?
You know,
you make me happy just smiling. So what do you add to that smile?
You know, it's I'm learning every day what a global happiness expert is. That's another day. because, you know, some people think that because I say I'm a global happiness expert, that means, oh, you must be happy all the time. But, you know, happiness is really, it's an inside job.
Yeah.
And it's not a one size fits all. You know,
definitely.
Just like self-care is not a one size fit all. What may make you feel good and you taking care of yourself, it may be different from what I need.
Right.
Same thing with happiness. But this is one thing that I can tell say, your happiness should not depend on anyone other than you. Sometimes we come into a relationship and we'll say, my husband, my boyfriend, my whoever, they don't make me happy. That's, you know, you're giving them too much power. That means right. that they make you happy, they can make you sad.
Sad, exactly. Exactly.
So
definitely.
That's one thing that one reason I can say that I am an expert because I know the things that we can do to find out what is our happiness. What are the things that give me joy? What are the things that, and it may be that And happiness is something that once you have it, no one else can take it from you. You can give it away, but no one else can take it. You can be in a situation where it's causing you all kind of anguish and despair, but you become aware. You become self-aware. You know, and that's part of it, that self-examination, that self-awareness, that taking time to really look at you and really know you. And once you do that, and you can see your thoughts. You when you're in a place of, you know how it go, Dee Dee, where your mind is just going all over the place.
All over the place, yes. Yes.
You know, and you, Dee Dee, knowing, you say, wait a minute now, what does Dee Dee need to do? Maybe she just need to close the door, not talk, not say anything to anybody, till Dee Dee have that cup of coffee.
I think it's so funny that everybody talks about my coffee. But that's right. Don't talk to me till afterwards.
Or you might say, I need to make an appointment with my counselor or my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk to someone because right now I'm not in a good space.
So how can I phrase this? What would one have to do to start the happiness process with you? What are the steps that you take?
I have my website. It's okay. I am Jeannie M. I A M J E A N N E M .com.
Mm-hmm.
And on my website, and I'm glad you asked, because on my website, I have, you can get a download, a free self-love report.
Okay.
And also, I have on there, it's called introspection, or I've forgotten even the name of the I know, isn't that awful? It's a senior moment.
Okay.
Dee Dee.
Listen,
it's a senior
moment. Please,
but
I haven't all the
if
time.
You go to my website, yes, ma'am. But if you go to my website, it has a tab where it says my books. And when you click on there, all of my books are there, and some of them are no charge. You just download it. They're ebooks, you know.
That's awesome. And
all of my books are, they're self-help books. So back to your question about, you go there, you're going to make an appointment with me through my website, you know, and I don't make as many appointments now as I did at one time, because like I said, school is kind of kicking mine behind. I'm a writer,
listen,
but I have to learn how to write in an APA, the Association of Psychological Administrators or whatever, APA,
yeah.
technical writing. And see, I'm freestyle, you know, I write freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have to be really and do citations and make sure that everything I say, a person can go and find that. Oh, it's driving me crazy. Everything else, but to go from one style of writing and then go to, it's been, so I don't take as many clients, but I do 30-minute consultations. And you know what I found? There have been so many people, because I usually don't stick to the 30 minutes. And I try not to schedule like really back-to-back consultations. I may end up speaking to a person for about an hour. And a lot of times I have helped them come to know what they need to do to get off on the start to on their healing journey. And that's okay.
That's okay.
Because I really don't do what I do just for the money. I do what I do because I really do want to see people healed.
Yes. Yes. And that's, and I know that I say that. Yeah.
Money will come. Ahead.
Yes. Listen.
Yeah. The money comes. The money comes.
Yes.
You know, that's one of those things that I just don't worry about it. And I am blessed that I don't have to worry about it. And so I just enjoy seeing people finally be able to say, you know, I'm on that journey, because it is a journey.
It is.
A journey. And you know this. I know you know. I've seen you on your journey, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because I know it hasn't been easy, but nobody ever said it'd be easy. So
I know. I think that we forget that sometimes. It's like, you know, my goodness, when am I going to get a break? You know? Oh.
I know.
I'm proud of you because, you know, an author. So how many books do you have now?
I said 9, but I have 10 actually. I did a collaboration with 20 other people.
Wow.
And the name of the book is, it's a like a tabletop book. On one side is I Love Me Because, and we explain what we love about ourselves. And on the other side, when you flip it, it's I Love You Because.
Oh, wow.
And it's different in that we use Q codes, the QR codes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on the QR code, I have a video that would come up of me.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yes. So we just launched that one in February.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Wow. So that makes 10 with, you know, with that one.
That is amazing. I'm a couple of books behind because I sure did not know that it was 10. And I'm still trying to squeak out one.
How many?
I have not written any books.
Oh, you have to be sure.
I have started 2 books, I should say. But you know, like I always openly share, that this monster doesn't always give me the freedom, you know, to get my thoughts out there. But people like you are inspiration, because 10 books and the healing and what you're bringing to women, Black women, Muslim women, just the healing of your community is amazing. And I want you to know that, I just think that you're amazing. And I see the work that you have done. I see, you said that you remember when I started with the speaking class, but I remember when you started, and from where you started. And I will tell you that, like my sister, you know, when I said that I was going to interview you, she's like, oh my God, I remember her speech that night, you know, from that night.
Wonderful.
You know, and, But I've seen the work that you've done, and you know, and now that we're here and going back to school, I'm going to keep saying it. You go, girl.
let me tell you something. I want to say this. I don't want anybody ever to think that they're too old or too this, too young, or too whatever, too poor, or right. too, you know, to do the things that you want to do. Because I wrote my first book when I was 72.
Wow. God bless.
So see, did you, you don't, you know, when I was 72, and then it was right after that, that was 2019.
Wow.
And right after I wrote it, because, you know, that was when we had gone to the speech class, I decided that I was just going to come out and be open with everything, what I had gone through, and know and pray to Allah that it would help someone on their journey. And so COVID came along. That just stopped me right in my tracks.
Yeah.
It just.
Just like everybody. Yeah.
Yes. But it was a blessing because that's when I wrote most of my books, because I
because you were home, you know. I did the same thing. I said that. I was telling somebody that the other day, that even though COVID sucked, like that's when I started doing my Facebook Lives. Uh-huh. So that sort of got me into, you know, getting in front of the camera and speaking. So there's always a blessing in the darkness, yes. you know, and that's awesome.
That is so true, Dee Dee. There is always, and that's one thing that I have started doing now. When things are really, 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 really messed up, I start looking for the blessing in it. And because of, like, life is that yin yang, negative, positive. There's always some negative in the positive. There's some positive in the negative. So, you know, if you look for that positive, even though it may be just a little sliver of light, hang on to that. Hang on to that. Don't be looking at all the darkness around you. Just hang into that little pinpoint of light. You know, and as long as you can see that little bit of light, because like in the Holy Quran, it always say, after difficulty comes ease. Just like after day comes night, after rain comes sunshine. Life is just a cycle. So if you can hang on long enough in that darkness, then there will be a change. And the other thing is, and this sounds kind of morbid, or either you're out of here, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's important for our young people to hear. You know, they're a little bit more, I don't want to say sensitive, but they don't understand that life gets hard. You know, life gets hard. I tell my kids that all the time. I would never want their lives to be as hard as mine was, but there are aspects of life that are hard and you have to push through it. You know, you have to pop. I just told my baby yesterday, pop a Tylenol and keep it going. You know, because you have to do the hard stuff. It you know, when you become a mother, you know, there's no saying, oh, well, you know, I got a headache right now, I can't take care of my baby. And so we have to impress upon them that it will get hard. It will get dark. But like you said, always follow that sliver of light.
Yes. And one thing about young people that I know is that they're traumatized.
They're
traumatized. And some of them cannot or know why they're reacting the way that they are, and they may not have access to any kind of help. And that's another reason why I always say, we should be kind to people we don't even know. When you know, when you go in the grocery store and you see that little clerk there that may not even look at you, she don't speak to you. All she does is just start checking groceries, that you don't know what she's going through.
Right.
You don't know what kind of trauma that she is going through. And so that's why I always try to, you know, say a kind word or just, you know, even if it's just calling them by name and say, thank you, Monica, you know, and sometimes they'll look up and make eye contact with you.
Yeah.
And it gives you an opportunity to just smile, you know,
right.
Just give them
change.
And sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You never know what someone's going through.
You never know.
Because I know my mask was on real good. I tell people now the things that I was going through, and they would be like, you were going through that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Mine stays on. So tell us again where we can find you.
I am JeannieM.com. And if you Google Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-E, Muhammad, I Google my name sometimes just to see what will pop up. And a lot of things have been popping up lately, Dee Dee. I'll be like, I did that.
That is so funny. And of course, I'm going to, you know, your information will be on my website. So before we go, I want to say thank you again, that I absolutely love you. Say hello to your wonderful husband for me.
Yes, he remembers me. Oh, that'll make him feel so special.
Oh, because he's so sweet.
He's so sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. So the last thing that I will ask you is share one piece of happiness advice for us.
Become self-aware. Become self-aware of the things that give you pleasure in the moment. Clarity so that you can understand what you have to do to provide happiness for you, and that no one else is responsible for your happiness but you.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. You have heard from the happiness expert herself. I hope this episode made you happy. It made me happy. Thank you guys for your support. If you don't already do so, go follow me on my website, divawithdepression.com. And as I said, Miss Jeannie's information will be on the website and listed within the episode. Please listen, share. You know, you never know what can save someone's life. You know, the sharing of my podcast and sharing of what Miss Jeannie just spoke about, you just never know what it will take to save someone's life. So please, please, please keep sharing information. We have to save our Black and Brown communities. We have to save our brothers and sisters and babies. So let's just keep the conversation going. Thank you again. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay well and please find some peace in your day. Remember that you're a superhero. Take care. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Sometimes realize there's no